Virginia last night. The president said the government regulates safety on a wide variety of products from toys to cars. Donald Trump, meanwhile, told a cheering crowd in Vermont that recent mass shootings would be, quote, a whole different story if more good guys were armed. Bells will toll across Tucson, Arizona this morning to mark the fifth anniversary of a deadly mass shooting that shocked the nation. Six people were killed and 13 others injured, including then-Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, when a gunman opened fire at a political event she was holding. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The following was recorded at a Burger King drive-thru at breakfast.
Morning, welcome to Burger King.
Can I get a sausage, egg, and cheese for sandwich?
Sure can. Right now they're two for $5, but could you say that word again?
Chris sandwich?
Oh, where I'm from we say, Chris sandwich!
Wow. Where are you from?
From behind this counter?
Piled high with thick-cut bacon or savory sausage, fluffy eggs, and melted cheese. Get two Chris sandwich breakfast sandwiches for just $5, only at Burger King. Limited time only. Price and participation vary.
Your locally owned Health Mart pharmacy is committed to helping you and your wallet stay healthy.
As a retired teacher, I look for ways to save money for the things I love, like traveling the world. Medicare plans change each year. Fortunately, my Health Mart pharmacist...
USA Radio News with Rod Williams Dole.
Clinton defends her judgment, saying New York voters voted for her twice. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, it's Angie Austin. Okay, seriously, I kid you not. My hair has been a problem since I was a teenager. Thin and limp and just blah looking. And now my hair has never looked better. So I want to tell you about...
USA Radio News with Rod Williams Dole.
Although we're still in a cautious posture, we're still making sure that we don't let our guard down. Our outside agencies that are out there that you see walking, I think they're kind of getting their sea legs, and they kind of see the way we do things, and they're more engaging to people.
Cleveland's Police Chief Calvin Williams, who is pleased with the peaceful demonstrations through the first couple of days of the convention. Of course, from the other side, Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar says that so far the Republican National Convention has been very negative.
We've heard nothing but negativity, people screaming, lock her up, questioning her faith, comparing her to the devil. That's what we just heard from a major candidate for president.
And we'll get to see close up and personal just how positive the Democratic Convention is next week in Philadelphia. This is USA Radio News.
For life's aches and pains, choose Blue Emu Continuous Pain Relief Spray. It works fast, and it's easy to use. Designed to work odor-free in all those remote areas. It works here. It's odor-free here. It works here. Blue Emu Continuous Pain Relief Spray. Fast-acting, easy-to-use, odor-free pain relief for all those remote areas. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and other fine retailers.
Safety. If you know me, you know how seriously I take it. I live, eat, and breathe safety. In fact, safety is my middle name. I went to the DMV and changed it last week. First name, Mr., middle name, Safety, last name, exclamation point. When it comes to safety, Grainger's got my back. They've got over 100,000 safety products. Grainger helps keep our facility safe and our people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
House Speaker Paul Ryan addressing the delegates at the Republican National Convention. Senior correspondent Jason Wirt has more.
House Speaker Paul Ryan addressed convention delegates and called for Republicans to come together.
This country is really going in the wrong direction. We were elected by our constituents to go fix that. And we will not fix it if we are divided among ourselves. We will only fix this country's problems if we unify.
Ryan trumpeted the Republicans' new plan a better way and said the party is finally giving America a real choice for the nation's future. I'm Jason Wirt.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says America wants Trump.
I'm proud to say that the voice of the people of our nation is being heard in this hall tonight, and those voices want Donald Trump to be the next president of the United States.
And no to Hillary.
Here it is, everybody. We didn't disqualify Hillary Clinton to be president of the United States. The facts of her life and career disqualify her.
This is USA Radio News.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
A lemur on the loose attacked a young woman outside her home in Miami, causing painful injuries. USA's Tammy Rose has more.
It may be a small animal, but it caused a lot of injuries to Victoria Velador.
My 21-year-old sister was leaving the house when the lemur jumped on her and bit her. So she had to call 911.
The victim's grandmother says she ran to get a banana to distract the animal, but that didn't seem to help. So they called authorities, who were able to remove the feisty critter.
Due to the area we are, there are several people that are licensed to have this lemur. Right now it's under investigation.
The victim was taken to the hospital where she got several stitches for her cuts. For USA Radio News, I'm Tammy Rowe.
Another sexual harassment lawsuit is filed against the Fairfax County Fire and Rescue Department. Doug Parrish reports.
The lawsuit was filed this week by a former battalion chief. It alleges she was subjected to a hostile work environment because of her sex. Now, this is at least the second lawsuit filed against the department in recent months. The sexual harassment claims have gained new life ever since the tragic death of a firefighter earlier this year. In that case, the female firefighter took her own life after complaining of bullying within the department. Doug Parrish, NBC News Radio.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Rod William Stoll. More news at usaradio.com.
Okay, and good morning. Welcome to a new edition of Modern Design. You know what that music means. That means we're starting a new live broadcast today. And I do believe I do have, through the magic of the internet, with me as my guest today, Ash Reagan. Are you on with me, Ash? Hello?
Yes, Richard, I'm here. Good morning.
Okay, good morning, and welcome to Modern Design. I'm glad to have you as my guest. We're going to start by taking a look at the weather, and then we'll go into what we're going to talk about today. And it's currently telling me that the National Weather Service says it's about 78 degrees with fair skies. Today it's going to be sunny with a high of 85 degrees. Tonight it will be mostly clear with a low of 61. On Thursday it'll be a beautiful sunny day with a high of 89 degrees. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low of 65. On Friday, again, mostly sunny with a high of 93. Very hot on Friday. Friday night, there's going to be a chance of thunderstorms with a low of 72. On Saturday, a beautiful, mostly sunny day with a high of 94. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low of 70. And finally, on Sunday, we have a high of 95. So we're going to have a wonderful run of weather this week. So make sure you get outside and enjoy. Well, as I say, my name is Richard Scuderi, and I host the show called Modern Design. We are all about interiors and exteriors, about creating beauty in your home and in your life and in your environment. And my guest today is someone that I haven't known for too long. His name is Ash Reagan. He's, I think, very appreciative of beauty, specifically beauty in nature. And why don't I say good morning to you, Ash?
And good morning to you, Richard.
So why don't you tell our listeners here where you came about, where you were born, where you came from, and then we'll get into it. I spent the past couple of days, after you gave me some of your information, going through some of your books, and they're quite beautiful. You really have an eye for capturing images. But tell us a little bit about your early beginnings.
Surely. I was born and raised in India, mm-hmm. in a southern town called Madras, which many here in the U.S. would recall as a source for exotic fabric for shirts, for men's shirts and clothes.
Oh, like Madras fabric.
That would be accurate.
Wow. That's
where I come from, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
it's on the ocean. It's hot and humid, like southern part of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I came to the U.S. To Maryland as my first stop. Mm-hmm. In 1983, went to school here. Got both my masters, in one in Maryland, one in Texas, in Austin. And since then, I've been in the New York, the metropolitan area, New Jersey, Connecticut. That's sort of been my background. I've been here a good 30-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, Richard, I do go to fairly exotic places in my business. But when I come back, I kiss the tarmac at Newark Airport.
Oh, I have to say I would agree with that, yes. that's it's very important to, I think, see other cultures, see other things. But there's definitely an appreciation for our country and all that we offer here. So I do appreciate that. But going back to actually your Indian background and growing up in India, do you feel that the culture is maybe more in touch with physical beauty and colors? When I think of the Indian culture, I think of maybe, like you were saying, some of the fabrics and like beautiful colors. Is that part of the core, having not been to India myself, is that part of your appreciation for beauty and nature and some of these wonderful art books and coffee table books that we're going to talk about today?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's sort of getting me back to trying to connect the sort of the dots, if you will, in my life. And yes, in fact, we have a festival in India called Holi, spelled H-O-L-I. It's a festival of color, and primarily you get out during the day, you're celebrating the harvest. Mm-hmm. It came from our farmers, and you spray color powder and color liquids on everybody, so by the end of the day, you're in a myriad panoramic colors.
Oh, that's interesting. That's something that I've never knew. So when does this the festival happen?
It's typically in the fall after the harvest,
right?
To celebrate a good harvest and to thank the gods for a good harvest. So the color becomes sort of the currency of the happiness of the people in that country, and it's celebrated throughout the country, north and the south regions, and it's truly colorful, because the officers take the day off, because you can't wear a suit or anything businesslike, because you will be sprayed with color powder or color liquid. The children have a blast, so it's plenty of color.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is.
Very, very interesting. So, go ahead.
No, I was saying, and it's possible that you brought that up, that somewhere subliminally, somewhere at the back of my mind, that could have stuck and sort of influences the way I look through a lens.
Right.
I tend to look at very vivid colors and spectrums of colors in photography.
If I could interrupt, that's one of the things that I was getting to. What I was stricken by is, and you know that I do color consultation. I'm a colorist, and I do color consultation. Sure. In my business, but exclusively for the Riccardi brothers, and they're the largest Benjamin Moore dealer in the United States. So I do color consultation constantly. So my eye is always drawn to color. And when I went through your books, all of them, I think the element that was consistent, even though the images were different, were the beautiful, vivid, rich colors that you kind of zeroed in on, I believe. And that's why I found the books so appealing.
Thank you for making that observation. And, you know, it's a matter of a style and an approach. Some photographers would choose not to be that vivid. Mm-hmm. It's their choice. I tend to really make my colors come alive. I may even overdo it, and that sometimes I have to hold back, because the exuberance is what, that's my metric to celebrate that particular shot or scene that I'm capturing on the camera. In fact, I will tell you this, just as an aside, I don't think there are many men who can cite all of the lipstick colors and the fancy names women's lipsticks have, only because I constantly get them for my daughter and my wife at duty-free airports. I'm amazed at the names of these colors.
It's funny. But to me, color is really everything. Color is the absorption of light. And I think color can make you feel better. And that's one of the reasons I do what I do. Because I think there's a lot of psychology behind being a decorator and going into other people's environments and changing those environments to make them happier. And a lot of that has to do with color and bringing beautiful color to them, or the appropriate color or the appropriate balance of colors to the space. But going back to your books in particular, I just saw such beautiful colors, lots of gold, lots of warm tones, and you know, the books seem happy to me, sort of a celebration.
And you know, and my subjects are happy. So if I'm in fact photographing a town, as I did with my New Vernon coffee table book.
Right.
And that town to me, and where I live, my neighbors, my community, and they all appear happy and joyful. And so in many ways, that book is a celebration of the joy. Or if I'm shooting at the Masai Mara in Kenya, and I'm doing wildlife photography, then I'm celebrating, you know, the joy and the happiness and the freedom of the subjects that I capture in many ways and I take photographs of. So, yes, so there is an element of joy, joy de vivre in my photography, yes.
It's definitely reflective in your images that you've created, quite beautiful. Ash, we're going to take some quick commercial messages, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Stephen Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
And we are back with Modern Design. I am Richard Scuderi. I host the show each week on Wednesdays live here in our Flemington studios. And our guest today happens to be Ash Reagan. He is an author. He is, I would call, a photojournalist and a lover of beauty. And today we're talking about his wonderful, gorgeous coffee table books. Ash, can you tell us how we can access more information about you and perhaps purchase your products?
The coffee table book in itself is on the web. If you go to blurb.com and you type in my name, which is Ash space Reagan, spelled R-A-J-A-N, you'll get a whole slew of coffee table books that I have put together, both from Africa as well as here locally in the U.S., that is one way of doing that. Or the best way, and actually enjoy a substantial discount, is to email me. May I provide my email address?
I would love that, yes, and our listeners would as well.
That would be A. Reagan, spelled R-A-J-A-N, that's one word, at Janny.com. Janny spelled Janney.com.
Wonderful.
So this way, if anyone emails me, mm-hmm. I can one give them the link to the purchase of the book in its actual heft that the coffee table book is, or they could have a digital version free from me, because I do have the rights to the digital version, which is like an e-book version of that. Still captures the exuberance of the pictures, but they don't have to pay for it.
Right. Well, isn't that wonderful? I'm going to make sure that we take advantage of that. I'll take advantage of it myself. Before we went to the commercial messages, we were talking about being a lover of beauty and how I've noticed that your books really celebrate color and have beautiful, vivid colors in them. How many books actually have you written? Or published, I should say.
I'm going to say six.
Six.
Five. From Africa.
Okay.
And one New Berlin, where I live.
Okay, wonderful. Well, why don't we start with, I want to go through each book a little bit. I did some research on you and I pulled up some things. And starting with the New Vernon book, why don't you tell us a little bit about the inspiration for that? I guess you are a resident of New Vernon?
That is correct. And for many years, we lived in Short Hills, New Jersey, and mm-hmm. used to drive past, my wife and I, Harding Township. And nestled within Harding Township is this jewel of a hamlet called New Vernon.
Right.
And we were just taken aback by, the waterfalls and the glens and the open fields and the trees. It's almost, if God were to throw a picnic, he or she would pick New Vernon. That was our assessment. So we waited for an opportunity to move to New Vernon, and we got that when our children were going to Pingree, which is a school in the community, graduated to go to college. So that let us get closer to New Vernon. So that's where we live. Now, my very first blush at New Vernon, Richard, was almost went through four stages. First, I was touched by it as an artist, and it's just unconditional and sheer beauty. And then, because I lived there was a constant repetition of that stimulus.
Right.
So let's call it re-inspired state. So it's re-inspired to document New Vernon. And third, discover. I wanted to discover the town. So I drove around for a good 2-3 weeks to essentially visualize what aspects of the town I can capture to best represent it. And then finally to plan and deploy, because now to translate that sort of that visual content or visual intention to actual equipment, choice of lenses, et cetera, in order to capture those images that I did.
Now, I found the book. First of all, I love natural beauty. I'm a resident of Tewksbury Township, New Jersey, which has somewhat, I would say, of a similar terrain. But so I'm a lover of natural beauty, and even though sometimes being in some of these places, New Vernon or Tewksbury or so on, are a little bit off the beaten path there, maybe less convenient, but the beauty and the tranquility of these places cannot be beat, I think. And
I agree and concur, I really do. But it also comes about, and you brought up light. In the previous segment,
right.
I just want to give it a little more extension.
Sure.
When I actually go out to capture my pictures, I do it only twice a day. Very early in the morning, I'm talking about light at about 6 o'clock when the dawn breaks.
Right.
And a little half an hour after that, the light is just gentle, smooth, it's almost caressing to the images. If you get a sort of a creamy layer into the optics, which I really like.
It's almost a romantic light, isn't it?
It is so much so.
Right.
You have some fog coming up from the water. It has a certain mystique to it as well. But then it all ends abruptly when the sun is really up. So by 9 o'clock, 8:30, that phase is over. Then I have to come back around 3:30 and 4 o'clock, and I call that, and most photographers call that, the golden light. We photographers love that light, because every subject gets lit up in this amber hue.
Right.
Just highlights every aspect of them. So talk about light. Those are the two things that best celebrate color, and I do that. Yes.
Absolutely. And I can just tell by what you've said, and just being observant to myself and what I do, very much so. If you've ever been at the beach around 6 p.m. at night, it's just the light is just people are washed in this gold light, which is you're spot on with that. It's just a beautiful time of day. You know, it's funny. I've been publishing in several magazines for some of the work I've done, and always when you're photographing spaces, on days that it's very bright and sunny, sometimes the pictures aren't quite as good because there's so much light, it floods it. But when you have sort of a filtered light, the pictures are even better.
Correct. But, you know, there's always serendipity and irony that follows an artist. Some of my best images, the best image opportunities have occurred in bad light.
Right.
So that's why you overcompensate, hopefully, with technique and learning to at least get most of that, even if it's bad light. So
right.
It is what it is.
Well, photography is a lot like design, because I always say design is a sense of balance. So if I have a very dark space, I'm going to bring in colors, paint colors that have a very high LRV ratio. That's called light reflecting ratio. I'm going to bring in beautiful white tones and things that reflect light. And it's a sense of balance. And it's exactly that in photography.
It is. You could have said it better. In fact, I go back now only because you sowed those seeds in my head as to what the origins of this passion were. And I have to admit that I think as a young child, I was a frustrated artist because, Richard, like you, I could see vivid, I could imagine vivid, but unlike you, I drew stupid. I could never draw. If I go back to my science class now some years ago, and every child had this remarkable fish that they drew for the fish class, and my fish just looked like an oval with fins that I just couldn't draw. So I guess...
I think you're being a little hard on yourself, but okay.
In many ways, I think my camera is my crayon.
Right.
I mean, it's my paintbrush looking for inviting canvases, and that's why I became a photographer.
Right. No, the pictures are inspiring, and if you go to the website and you go to a blurb, which is BLURB, you can get access to the images, which are just absolutely beautiful. Now, one of the things that I had noticed was that you... And I thought this added a level of complexity and interest that you photographed at different times of the year.
Yes, I did. And towns you mentioned, Tewkesbury, New Vernon, a few others that our listeners live in, do have that, what I call chiaroscuro, meaning their behaviors change with the season.
Sure.
And so does the image. I have a very, very old and a very large oak tree on my property. It virtually has a distinctly different personality in each of the four seasons.
Seasons, right.
So I figured if my tree could show those myriad properties, so does the town. So, yes, I try to capture all four.
Is there a season that you prefer photographing in or for its beauty?
Oh, God, fall. Autumn is so generous to the photographer.
Right.
It really is, especially when you live in the Northeast.
Right.
You don't even have to be a good photographer or even half inspired to produce just a remarkably beautiful image in our part of the country during autumn. But having said that, every season has a little gift.
Oh, sure.
Yes, the hardest is winter, but winter has its own, a sense of feel. In fact, there are some images in my book where I've taken pictures of icicles.
Right.
And the sweet, adorable geometry that they form in winter. And it changes every second because they melt. and just to capture them in those different myriad geometries was one of my passions that I do.
Exactly. Some of those winter images that you have were quite beautiful and vivid and quite pretty, and the contrast of, let's say, winter berries and against all the frozen landscape. They're just quite beautiful, and birds and things of that nature. I see birds as a common theme in all your books.
Yes. The analogy is, and it's an old analogy, which they're familiar with Indians, but now it's become, I think, common parlance, and that is, if you can drive in Calcutta, you can drive anywhere. So the same analogy to me is, I started off as an avian flight photographer, which is one of the hardest from a technical point of view, because you're trying to capture the bird in flight at a very fast pace. So you're changing apertures, you're changing optics while the bird is flying, and you're hoping to get behaviors at the same time. So that was my training. So I figured that was to me driving in Calcutta. So if I could do that, then the still images came a lot easier. I could spend much more time visiting and exploring angles at still images.
Sure, wonderful. So, Ash, we're going to go to a quick news break. I'm going to ask you to continue to stay with us, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design here on 100 in Chamber Radio.
Thank you.
USA Radio News with Rod Williams-Dole.
And it's my honor to be able to throw Donald Trump over the top in the delegate count tonight with 89 delegates and another 6 for Joe Kasich. Congratulations, Dad. We love you.
That was Donald Trump Jr. said his dad has a track record of achieving the impossible. That was the crescendo of the Republican National Convention. But then, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie made the case against Hillary Clinton, saying she is guilty of having a dismal record as Secretary of State.
In Libya and Nigeria, guilty. In China and Syria, in Iran and Russia and Cuba.
We continue our coverage of the Republican National Convention. This is USA Radio News.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
And we are back live here in studio in Flemington, New Jersey, with another edition of Modern Design. I am your host, Rich Gaderi, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with Ash Reagan. He is the illustrator as well as author of these beautiful coffee table books. And we're talking about his book in particular. The first one is called New Vernon, all about New Vernon, New Jersey, nearby landscape in our community here in New Jersey. Ash, do we have you back on the line?
Yes, of course we do.
Okay, great. So we're talking about specifically the new Vernon book. Were there some favorite images before we move on to the next book from the new Vernon that you thought were outstanding or that you liked the most?
Well, that's like asking a mother to pick a favorite child, but I'm going to try that. I'm going to attempt it despite your question. The horses, I think, are my sweet spot.
Right.
We are an equestrian town in many ways.
Right.
Those horses, and just the glimmer of their skins in that golden light, both the darker skinned horses as well as the gray and white spotted horses, were just beautiful to capture.
Right. No, and beautiful, and I felt the same way about it. Having not discussed it with you before, I think you're on point with the images that were just the most outstanding, although they were all beautiful. Landscapes, all of them were beautiful, and very reflective. I'm
sorry to interrupt you.
No, no.
There's one other image that comes to mind that I particularly liked. It was a picture of two vintage trucks, I think back from the 30s or 40s, and they were right in the midst of a patch of wildflowers and grass. So to capture that lovely vintage metal with all the patina surrounded by the flowers was just great. I enjoyed that as well.
Okay, so moving on to one of your other books, I have here, it says Rhapsody in Monochrome. The image of the book with the obviously this is Africa with the beautiful elephant.
Oh yes, and Amboseli, of course.
Right. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. Well, the image that the cover image of the book is this really massive bull elephant, male elephant that we encountered while we were driving, and was particularly frightening in the first few seconds because he was by himself, and the rangers generally warn you against solitary elephants being sort of rogue elephants, and they're not with the rest of the pack.
Oh, is that true?
Yes, that is true. Typically, mostly true, let's put it that way. Typically, they isolate themselves from the rest of the family only because they are either kicked out or they choose to be independent, and as a result, they are much more temperamental than those that are within the family. So that being said, and this was an enormous male elephant, and you could tell from the picture the size of it, that he wasn't very far from our Jeep, if you will.
Right. But it almost looks, to be honest with you, Ash, it almost looks as if he's posing for you in a way here.
Can you believe it? And then, if you think about it, he grabs a bunch of mud or sand in front of him and then just virtually has a shower of the sand, which is a completely quirky outcome to the fearful expectation we had of his behavior. So I was so lucky that somewhere with all this fascination, my fingers were in the right place on my camera to capture that image the way it did. So thank you for observing that. But that's an Amboseli, which was my second safari to Africa, when we did both the Serengeti, which is in Tanzania, and Masai Mara, which is in Kenya. So we sandwiched both. I typically would not recommend doing that because that's too much sensory input for one person to handle in a safari. Do one at a time is my advice. But that's where I took that picture. It was in Tanzania.
So in this particular book, Rhapsody in Monochrome, what are the other images that you've captured that you've loved?
Yes. Well, what I did with this was these were exclusively black and white and sepia colored pictures, and I guess what I was also trying to evoke, and you know, when I say the word I'm trying to evoke, most purist photographers would shirk at that because photography is supposed to come naturally and spontaneously. But I admit that this particular book I was inspired only because I felt animal behaviors had a certain patina in black and white.
Okay.
And I try to capture that, and the sepia was a bit whimsical because I stayed in a camp in safari. They call your habitat camps. These are very, very upscale, beautiful camps. But that particular camp was inspired by the British Raj. This is when the British were in India, so it had all that imperial regality.
Mm-hmm.
And the pictures in that particular camp are of the sepia, depicting the older, the Maharajas, and so on. So I figured I would extrapolate that mood to the animals and the behavior. So that's why monochrome, it's just black and white and sepia.
I see. I just think that the image, specifically the cover image, the image of the elephant in sepia tone, it doesn't seem like if you had done it in any other format, I don't think it would be as powerful as it is. With that sepia tone, it's just beautiful.
No, thank you. I'm coming from an artist that you are, because you do that with atmospheres, rooms, ambiances, and in your line of work. And for it to have caught your eye is truly a testimony. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for that as well. You know, I'm a big fan of art books. In fact, often when I'm looking for inspiration to make prints for someone's home, I will go to vintage stores. I will go to places, and I'll buy an old coffee table book, and I'll take some of the images, and I'll have them matted and framed and use them. Not that I'm suggesting someone steal from you, but I'm saying I love art books. I love beauty. And what better way to celebrate it than in a coffee table book? You know, most of the decorating that I'm doing these days is a little bit cleaner and a little bit simpler. And something like an art book like this really adds to the beauty of a room because, you know, there's so much in there. So I often put beautiful books on a coffee table, maybe a little chest in a sitting area of a bedroom. I just think that adds so much visual interest.
I'm thinking that since you helped me visualize those exact surroundings and that very room that you discussed, I could even see it on a plush white linen bed.
Right.
Rich fabrics and all white and green, and to have this palette contrast of a monochrome sepia and black. I understand exactly where you were going with that.
Right. It's just, you know, it's quite striking. Let's move on to another book, which is your book called An African Journey, and tell us about that.
The journey, to me, was a documentation of my very first expedition into Africa. So I was discovering Africa. I was discovering the continent as much as its people, as much as its animals and animal behavior. So there was so much going on that I had to process. So I sort of depicted that more as a journey, which in a way was a learning curve for me, even as a photographer and an artist. And that's why you could see, even if you were to put those books side by side, for instance, the African Journey to the left and maybe the Rhapsody to the right, you'll also see my own growth as a photographer. I think I've become more mature as time went on. So that's my debut book. So you'll also see some streaks of amateur photography in it. But nevertheless, it's not so much about technique. It was just about the moment. And me being there, I remember distinctly there was a mating scene, if I may use that word in the show.
Sure.
Between a lion and a lioness, and the first reaction of the parents was, "Geez, I mean, will my children feel awkward looking at this?" And then within seconds, that dissipated, because this was nature in its most primal, raw form. And it wasn't the mating, it was just a genuine transfer of love and affection between those two animals that I was trying to capture in that book.
Right. Now, in the book specifically, An African Journey, what were the most difficult, if there were animals to photograph? Was there one that was more difficult?
Oh, yes. Clearly the hunting scenes, and there's a couple of hunts in there, and it's so hard to get a hunt, only because everyone in the vehicle is now, their adrenaline is pumping, so they're bumping into you.
Sure.
I can't get my camera to line up with the image. The ranger's going crazy with the Jeep. The dust from the vehicle going that fast is cutting onto your lenses. So it's the most hostile environment for a photographer to operate in. But that, again, the trophy is the outcome of the image, despite those constraints. So that's what I felt with some of the images especially the hunt images in the African Journey.
Did you find any of the animals particularly friendly, almost as if they were posing for you? Or?
Oh, my God, yes. The cheetahs in particular, if I recall, somewhere in there, this is early morning at about, I'm going to say between 5:30, the cusp of 5:30 and 5:45, Richard. So we were driving for about 15 minutes from our camp. Nothing had happened yet. And then we see to our far left a mother cheetah and her little daughter. Just to see them walking in tandem in the big, large, open field, just golden grass, with one lonely acacia tree in the distance, your classic image of Africa that most people imagine. I'm seeing that, and to my left is the mother and daughter coming towards me. Already, I'm excited, I'm pumped. I'm now aligning my equipment. Just about to click, the mother jumps on our Land Rover. It's a convertible with a slight metal frame on top.
Uh-oh.
It sits right on the top of us. Her tail is now dangling inside the Land Rover. I can touch it and hold it. We are looking up to her. She's right up there above our head. virtually in distance to, you know, if it got bad, it was the most dangerous situation to be in. But all she was trying to do, Richard, is escape the land to see if there was prey. As soon as she spotted an antelope, she jumps from the roof, goes on a 0 to 60 in 4 seconds, that is faster than any car that you can imagine, and bingo, she gets the prey. All of this had to be captured, and it was very hard to do.
Wow. See, I would feel kind of concerned. I know where I live, there's bear, and if I ever see a bear with its cubs, I really get quite concerned, because that's when you can be in trouble. And I thought the same thing would maybe follow suit with the big cat family as well.
Absolutely, but there's this amazing elixir of fear, anxiety, joy, triumph. It's so intoxicating. You have to be there to really feel that.
Okay, Ish, we're going to go to our next set of commercials. I ask you to be gracious and stay with us, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design here on 100 in Chamber Radio.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business, one business at a time.
And we are back with Modern Design. I'm here today with my guest, Ash Reagan, and he has some beautiful coffee table books that he has written, and we're talking about that. And then, Ash, can you let our listeners find out where they can get your books or more information on your books?
Surely. The easiest way to do this, if anyone is interested in acquiring these books, Richard, is to email me, and that would be A-R-A-J-A-N, that's A. Rajan, A-R-A-J-A-N, at Janney.com. Janney is J-A-N-N-E-Y.com. By doing this, there's one advantage. One, I can give them a link directly to the Blurb site where they can purchase the coffee table book in its original form, all 280 pages of photographs, or I could provide them with a free complimentary digital version. just for connecting up with me and requesting me. It'll be a remarkable privilege to share that with any one of the listeners who want to email me.
Well, a very generous gift, and having taken advantage of us and looked at some of your images online, they were just quite beautiful. In fact, the image I'm looking now is from your book, Botswana Echoes, and you have some, I'll just say, big cats on the cover. Tell me a little bit about that book.
Very early morning, when we set out from camp, and I'm talking virtually drink a cup of coffee at about 5 o'clock in the morning, and you're out with the ranger. Typically, in that particular trip, it was just me and two other photographer buddies of mine, so it wasn't with the family. So we would set up real early in the morning, and we had the Jeep to ourselves, since we're three photographers, so we now have more space. We're predetermined and preset our equipment so that we could take any surprises in. And as we went in, Botswana is a very watery part of Africa. It's a part of a delta called the Okavango Delta, and the Okavango River floods it ever so often. So we went during the flood season. And
right.
Within minutes, Richard, our Land Rover is now kind of trapped in the middle of a pond, and it's sinking.
Wow.
Water. It's beginning to take water. And what, despite the angst of that moment, what occurred to me and what I felt and sensed was this distinct echo in the air. I'm not sure if it was created by an animal or a mammal or what, or the trees, I'm not sure, but there's a distinct echo and a repetitive sound which was haunting. It was, so that's the reason the name for the book, Botswana Echoes. And as the water was coming up, there, right next to my Jeep, is a caiman, which was a baby caiman, a smaller version of a crocodile, and we were so scared.
Oh, I'd be very scared.
into the truck, because these trucks have no doors, and we're taking in water. So, but I guess one fear overrides the other fear. My fear was losing my equipment to the water, not so much the caiman getting to my leg. So, you know, what can I say?
Oh my goodness. I think you're a far braver man than most doing this, but we're lucky because you've created these wonderful images, these beautiful images that we could have in our home and not have to take on that journey. Although I'm sure having to tell these wonderful stories is part of the pleasure. Okay. And then one of the prettiest covers, they're all beautiful, but one of the prettiest covers I think is Jungles of the Raj. Tell us about that book.
First of all, just to put that in perspective, I refer to the Raj as the British Raj. As many of our listeners know, the British were in India for many years, and we extracted many of their influences, the way we speak, talk, we schooled, even some of our food habits and etiquette come from the Brits, for the British. And part of that whole romance and magic of the British is that they were avid hunters, which unfortunately, you know, meant killing of animals, which in those days, I guess, was condoned.
Right.
But I said, I do want to relive the nostalgia of the British Raj, but clearly I don't want to do it with my camera. And I even the word to capture or shoot evokes such really sad and terrible images, especially to the RBT, to the Royal Bengal Tiger, which I managed to photograph when I was in India. So that book is entirely dedicated to the Indian safari in a way that a Maharaja host would take a British prime minister, a British guest on an Indian safari, and how they would view the Royal Bengal Tiger, either atop an elephant or atop a jeep. And that is the spirit of that particular book.
The image you have of the tiger here is quite beautiful. It's funny because it's not a threatening image at all.
No, it isn't. It's a mother. It was a she, and she had just given birth, I guess, a couple of weeks prior to that image. In fact, she was extremely calm, despite the fact that we happened to be accidentally very close to her. We did not notice her because she was sitting in the shade. And the ranger virtually sort of, you know, took a glance and saw her through the leaves and very quietly whispered to us, here, there's the tiger. And she was huge. for a female tiger. But in her eyes, which is what I managed to get in that particular photograph, was this empathy, and it was a sense of motherly. There was a demure purity in her being demure and empathetic at the same time.
It almost looks like, if you would say what empathy looks like, you know, especially kind of thinking about a Bengal tiger. But you see empathy in your eyes. There's no predatory. There's nothing there other than that, which is so interesting in the photograph. It also shows you how beautiful nature is, and when you look at this animal's face and their skin and the markings, it's just so beautiful.
You know, I have to tell you, Richard, and my prayer for anybody who loves wildlife, if photographer or not, is just in their lifetime to watch the Royal Bengal tiger just walk. It doesn't have to do anything. If you can watch it walk, that circle, that royal princely gait, that level of confidence and conviction in itself, the sheer beauty of the black stripes amidst the flaming oranges,
right,
all in something else.
Yeah, they're just particularly beautiful, at least in my perspective. And finally, because we're about 4 minutes left in the segment, I want to get to a common theme in your books is birds, and the book Takeoffs and Landings. And tell us a little bit about that book.
Yes, that was a bit of a show-off book for me, and it's every once in a while, I think professionals do this for other professionals, like musicians write songs for other musicians. So this was a photography experiment or a project that I did for other photographers, because there's a bit of hot chest thumping in capturing flight images. As I said, avian flight photography is one of the hardest, and I recall having to wake up again 5 o'clock in the morning in San Diego when everybody is asleep at that point, and to wade the backwaters of the ocean in a sort of a riverbank or a backwaters, and actually wait for this one bird that shows up precisely at a certain time. The bird virtually flies at remarkable speed and suddenly drops height, skims over the surface of the water, just with a beak for some reason, tosses out something. It turns out to be either a fish or a crab, almost does a sort of a juggle with the beak and captures that crab or the food right in flight. So I had to take all of the sequence in one shot, because if I miss it, that bird's not going to come back again. So you see images like that, which are somewhat difficult. So they were bent more on technical sort of machismo versus artistic delight. But if you saw a couple of images that actually brought you joy, I'm so glad it had that outcome.
Right. Now the on the cover here, what bird is this? It's really a captured, really, that you can almost feel the image of it, of the movement of it skimming the water, if you will. What bird is this?
This is in fact it's actually a gray, it's a blue heron.
Okay.
But I used a certain filter at a certain time of day, so it looks a little different from the hue. But that's kind of what you see. Now I've did two books on birds. But it's referring to that very, if I can use the word weird, but it's not. It's just actually a very pretty bird. It was a very exotic bird. Are you talking about the orange bird with a very pronounced face? That's an African hammock bill, which is a very exotic bird. It's got a big, massive beak, lots of colors coming out of it, and lots of textures in the beak. Yes.
Very interesting and very beautiful. We only, believe it or not, Ash, have a minute left. I'm just going to ask, because your books are so wonderful and so special and really do stand out. I think you're a fantastic photographer. Tell our listeners one more time how they can reach you if they want to find out more about your books, because I think they're, you know, quite beautiful and fascinating and different, really actually different.
Thank you. I will. I did not give my phone number, and I'd be happy to do that as well. It's 973-718-1275, and my email is arajan, that's arajan at janney.com, janney.com. And just as a reminder to the listeners, my day job is an investment manager for Janney Montgomery Scott. So my passion is in photography. So for me, the contrast of being a finance person, but remedying advice to families and businesses, and at the same time celebrating my passion, I've been very fortunate to be able to do both.
And we're fortunate that we have your images because they're quite good, and to have access to them. So I appreciate so much you illustrating verbally for us, which you've done quite well, about your beautiful books, and I look forward to having you on again. This program is eventually going to, we're going to be adding some video cameras and moving studios right here in Flemington. So the next time I'm going to have you come in with some of the books, and then we can really share the images visually as well.
I would love that opportunity, Richard, and thank you for inviting me.
And thank you. Okay, we will conclude today's broadcast, and I will listen. I will have you listen to the podcast, and we'll be back here live in studio next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
USA Radio News with Rod Williams-Dole.
And it's my honor to be able to throw Donald Trump over the top in the delegate count tonight with 89 delegates and another 6 for John Kasich. Congratulations, Dad. We love you.
That was Donald Trump Jr. said his dad has a track record of achieving the impossible. That was the crescendo of the Republican National Convention. But then, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie made the case against Hillary Clinton, saying she is guilty of having a dismal record as Secretary of State.
In Libya and Nigeria, guilty. In China and Syria. In Iran and...